here with Nan Brown Sutton, one of three candidates for two seats on Beaufort City Council. I'm David Lauderdale, here with Brian Tolley and Rick Brundrett. And Nan, why are you running?
I am running because I have attended meetings for, or I attended meetings for 8 years. And that's all the meetings for 8 years. I just missed a handful. My husband was on city council for 8 years. So I received an unintended education, I guess you could say, about the municipality of Beaufort, how municipality works, and how small town politics work. So I learned an enormous amount without really even knowing it at the time. And I've watched the city grow. I've watched the city's progress. Now it'll be 10 years, I guess, 10 years probably total. And I've watched the very thoughtful and steady progress of it. And I decided to run because I did not want us to go backwards. And that was what I was concerned with. So I just wanted to keep up the good work that the city's been doing, and they have been doing some good work.
You've been in business on Bay Street 16 years?
Yes, sir. I have been in business 16 years. I came back from New York City. I was in New York City for 16 years, came back in 2000, opened a business, and I'm in retail, which is a hard business to be in, and I have been there and sustained a business for 16 years on Bay Street. So I am in the heart and soul of the city.
What's the city doing? What's the city doing wrong or right from the perspective of the small business owner in Beaufort?
I think that the city, I don't think they're doing anything wrong. I think we have to keep an eye that the city is always supportive of the small businesses downtown, and all over the city for that matter. We're working right now. I believe that we need a parking structure that's sort of in the works. I was on the parking task force for 6 months, and we studied very, very closely what was happening with parking in downtown Beaufort. And I don't know how often y'all have been downtown Beaufort, but there's some issues.
Yeah.
So we studied it for 6 months, and now I know more about parking than I ever wanted to know.
I always park up by the courthouse where it's free and walk downtown.
Yes, yes, right. That's good. But after that, I do believe that we do need a parking structure. We're losing parking, you know, yearly as we go. When you have infill in a downtown, you lose parking spaces. So probably over the past 10 years, I think we've probably lost 50 to 60 places, which is, doesn't sound like a lot, but in a little three-block town, that's a lot of parking. So
are you in favor of the tax, I guess?
Penny sales tax,
your husband,
yes, the capital tax,
your
yes.
Your husband worked hard on that.
I am in favor, especially when you look at all of the capital projects which that sales tax would support. Of course, one is, I think, $14 million for the parking structure. I believe there's $3 million, I might not have the numbers exactly right, but $3 million for the waterfront park. We're trying to do a culinary institute with TCL in Bluffton.
Where would that be?
At the TCL campus,
TCL's campus is where the culinary institute
yes,
would be?
Yes, and there is a health services institute they want to combine, too, with TCL. And then there's many, many other projects. Those are just the four that are people. There's Port Royal projects. And then, of course, South
right,
Lebron.
Right.
So $30 million a year for 4 years. I think it totals $120 million with that 1 cent. You know, it's a pay-as-you-go fee. It's not, you know, I believe 50% is paid for by the tourists, 50%. Now, I don't know the exact I don't know the exact cut of that percentage, what's tourist and what's citizen, but you have to remember that part of it is paid by the tourists who come in. Now, my business, I did research 2 years in a row in an off month in May of who my customer was in Beaufort, and it was 52% tourist, 48% local. So that was in May. I didn't choose to do March and April, which is our biggest tourist months of the year. So that's pretty interesting. I bet we would be higher probably in downtown Beaufort, and I'm not sure about the outskirts, but it's a pretty interesting thought.
What more could Beaufort do for tourism, if tourism is that important to your business?
I believe, you know, Beaufort, we are what we are. We're three blocks long, and we have right now so much density, you know, as compared to Charleston or compared to Savannah. And we can only, of course, take so much tourism. You know, I believe Charleston actually has come to the point of overflow. I mean, we were in the Charleston airport, and there was a front page article on their paper about 2 years ago that said they had to stop new events in the downtown peninsula because it was becoming so overcrowded. Now, that's something that a city wishes for. You know, they got, you know, the number one city in the world for 2 years by Condé Nast Traveler, right? Mm-hmm. So you get what you wish for, but look what happened. They didn't,
They're not slowing down.
They're not slowing down. So if you come back to Little Beaufort, which is only three blocks long, I doubt that will happen, but you have to be careful. You know, you have to be careful about that because we have to protect the historic district, which is very important. And I think that the Chamber of Commerce is doing a good job with their marketing, you know, our DMO. I think they do a good job. So it's just a matter of balancing and measuring the progress, I believe, of all of that. Mm-hmm. There's a very, very fine balance, especially when you have a historic district that's a national landmark. And You've got to keep the downtown going, but you've also got to watch that it's not overdone and over, you know, that there's not overgrowth. So, mm-hmm.
Well, this may not be your issue, but do you have any thoughts on the idea of not doing a franchise fee increase for SCENG to do the underground burial of the power lines?
Mm-hmm. No, I think right now the way that it's happening, that was a very complicated issue. I mean, it was written back, I believe, when Mr. Taub was in office. He wrote the agreement. And so now take us forward, or however many years that is. And they've decided that at this point right now they'll add a 2% increase to the 5% right now in the bill. So I hope there's not a misunderstanding with people that it looks like your utility bill is going up. You know, there was a number that was said it's going to go up by 40%. Well, when I first heard that at a debate, I thought, oh, my God, my Lulu Burgess bill is $300. If it goes up 40%, that's $120 increase. So I thought, wow, that's big. So I went back and looked, figured it out. What it is there's a down at the bottom of your bill, it says little franchise fee paid to Beaufort, South City of Beaufort, 5%. The increase is 2%. That 2% is a 40% increase,
right,
of that 5.
Points, but it's
so,
40% increase,
right, my franchise fee was $12. So the increase is 2% of that $12, which is $2.40. Does that make
right.
sense? So instead of a $120 increase, I went, phew, okay, it's only $2.40. So it's how you look at the numbers and you know, kind of manipulate the numbers to make them look positive or negative. So I'm willing, I wrote that actually on Facebook last night as a response, I'm willing to pay $2.40 to underground to bury lines after what we went through with Hurricane Matthew. There's absolutely no question in my mind. And that we're going to also, as we speak now, we're putting money in funding for future undergrounding in Beaufort. Now, I understand that Hilton Head's already got, how much is it underground already y'all have?
This is maybe 100 miles. I mean, it's 80% finished, I think,
yeah,
something like that.
That's amazing. But then that's the difference between, I guess, Palmetto. You have Palmetto Electric.
Right.
Is that right?
Yeah, yes. In the city, the town undertook this quite some time ago.
Amazing.
Yeah. So what separates you? What are you telling people? Why should they vote for you?
Well, I'm a Beaufortonian. I was born and raised in Beaufort. My dad was born here in 1923 on Paris Island. I love the city that I live in. I want to sort of, I feel very protective of it, and I want to help guard it. you know, I want it to be the best it can be, and I know we're probably not perfect, and there's probably things that need to be improved upon, but I believe the city, you know, right now has done the best that they can do. You know, some of our projects were funded, like our Bladen Street project. I don't know if you've been over to Beaufort, but if you go down our Bladen Street in Beaufort and our Duke Street, those were done with 75% of federal grant money. 75%. And the other things, the Spanish Moss Trail, we have a new city hall, a new police building. I mean, if you could have seen what we were in 10 years ago. But anyway, to answer your question, back to that, is I have a vested interest in everything that there is about the city, so I feel like I could be a positive force on city council. And I'm a female. It is all white males. Nothing against all white males, you would understand, but I think it would be nice to have a female on city council.
Yeah. So, how about has the city got a problem with Ladies Island at this point? Ladies Island folks seem to have really felt blindsided.
They're worried about the traffic. They're in the middle right now of a traffic impact study because of we're afraid what's going to happen with Walmart over there. Which
has that become a city problem? Is that a city problem now, or is it?
Well,
it's both county and city.
I think it's both. You know, it's. I think it's going to be a shared thing, but the residents now are worried, you know, about future traffic because, you know, there still is a possibility, I believe, of 4,000 to 5,000 homes that could be built over there. So think about that. You know, how are the roads going to be able to take it? And so we'll find out, I guess, with this traffic impact study. But the Walmart will definitely be an impact. And I'd also like to remind everybody, the city fought against that Walmart, and you know they lost in court. So,
and plus it was planned in the 90s. I mean, the plan has been up there for
it was planned,
forever.
You're exactly right. It was a PUD.
But people seem to be turning to the city.
Yeah.
And I don't know what your response would be.
I would say talk to the owner of the property. I think he made a deal with the devil. I mean, that deal did not have to be made. He didn't have to sell that piece of property to Walmart, but it happened, and now we are paying the price for it. And the city and the county, you know, they turned that into a PUD, like you said, years ago. I believe it was in the 90s. I'm not sure sure of the date. I haven't been officially in office. I've only listened and listen to it all. So,
yeah. Does the city need more revenue? And what is your opinion of revenue for things they've kicked around in recent years?
Well, the cities always need more revenue, and they always need to broaden the tax base. You know, the last time the city tried to raise money, they were going to put it through a vehicle tax fee. And council decided no, they weren't going to do it. And that was the last time. So that was through a fee, which they turned down. So, you know, with their hands tied behind their back because of state rules and laws, it's very hard to do that. So, you know, the other option is to broaden the tax base. You know, I think it was a great idea. Our Boundary Street, I don't know if y'all have driven over there yet. It's kind of a mess right now, but I think it's going to be great.
I've donated one flat tire to the cause.
I'm sorry.
I'm not complaining.
But I think it's going to be beautiful. You know, we're going to create, I mean, that commercial corridor is going to be a corridor that I think will improve the entrance to Beaufort. It's what Beaufort deserves. You know, we'll now have that beautiful entrance and a new city hall and a new police building. And then the commercial building that hopefully will happen along there, you know, will be one of the things, you know, to increase the tax base there. So, did I answer your question?
Yeah. There's the talk about taxing or fees for nonprofits. Do you have a stand on that?
Well, it's tough because 35% of the city is nonprofit.
How much?
35%.
Churches. That's the hospital, okay. TCL.
TCL, hospital, churches, and all the... So think about that. That's 35% of money that the city has no money from them.
So you'd see a way, some way of tapping into that?
I wish we could. I don't know yet. But wouldn't it be great? If, you know, even if it was a small portion, even if it was something, I'd love to do research on other cities in the country, you know, have other people try. You know?
Yeah, I think it's, yeah.
Something
answer
to look
that
at.
Yes. How about the issue of more short-term rentals all over town? Is that an issue? Is that changing things?
A little bit. Here's my feeling on short-term rentals, and this is a totally personal view, but I live in downtown Beaufort in the historic district, and next to my driveway is a short-term rental. And then about 100 feet away is another short-term rental. And then across one corner is it? I have three short-term rentals.
Is all that new?
Yes. 1, 2, 3 within the last 2 years. And on the one that is right next to me, a little house, and they've probably been renting it, I don't know, maybe that's been the oldest one, 3 to 4 years. We had a couple come in from Atlanta. We accidentally met them because they needed internet and they didn't have any internet and they came knocking on our door. And long story short, this couple, we invited them over and later invited them to a party. They ended up liking Beaufort so much, they bought a home. They hired my husband, who's a contractor, to renovate the entire house. And now they have a home that they live 6 months a year here in Beaufort. Mm-hmm. And their house is also in the historic district. I think that's a win-win. Mm-hmm. When people come in and use these short-term rentals and end up being a part of the community. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, I know there's some negatives.
Parking.
There's probably been short-term rentals where there's been parties and complaints. But in my opinion, in my experience, I do think it has to be controlled. You have to be careful with it. Mm-hmm. But certainly, I believe it should be allowed.
How about the civic plan? What are you doing now? The zoning that would go along with it, or the...
Well, the civic master plan, the next part of the process is the form-based code.
And what do you think about that?
I have not read the entire form-based code, and I don't want to pretend to know about it, but there's obviously probably in the next year there will be work done on it, and they're going to decide whether or not to use it. I'm already under the understanding that the county has accepted the form-based code, but the city of Beaufort, they deleted a lot of things out of it. And whether or not it will be passed, I don't know. You know, there's concerns about it changing the neighborhoods and changing the historic district. The parts I did read of it, I don't believe, you know, the historic district, I think, will always be safe. We're not going to do anything to harm that historic district, and especially the Point. The Point, I think, is built out. I don't believe that, you know, there might be one or two lots. I haven't gone to the Point to count, but I think there's a lot of fear in people that, you know, things are going to, it's going to be terrible. And, but, you know, we have to work on it and decide. I don't think there's going to be any drastic decision until all parties, and actually, they're going to go back to all the neighborhoods again, probably within the next year, to talk about this, you know, neighborhood by neighborhood.
Where did you stand on the concept of developing the parking lot, or the developing that far end of the waterfront park?
Where did I?
Where? What did you think of that? Where did you stand on that?
Well,
the city started one way and then they stopped.
I believe, from my understanding, what happened was the city, you know, I think the complaint was made, oh, that the city was going to lease this space or sell this space or something, which was never going to happen. They went to a development group and asked for an RFP. Before that development group even got back to the city, okay, things leaked out. And then all hell broke loose. As my dad would say, all hell broke loose. And it got out of hand. And the city, you know, the city council and the mayor and staff would never have approved anything. It would have been vetted forever and ever. But because this stuff got out and people heard that there might be this proposed awful development, you know, it just got out of hand, and I think it was totally...
Well, as a merchant, would you welcome new businesses down the street?
Or? I always welcome new business. I'm one of those people who believe that it's a synergistic effect. You know, I'm not one that goes, well, that's going to bring me more competition, which a lot of people... You know, you have a lot of people that feel that way. I don't want any more competition, but I believe it makes for a better downtown, a more vitality and more vibrant. Before that park, whether it is turned into green space, whatever happens to it, the first thing that has to happen is they have to figure out where those 120 parking spaces are going to go. Because we can't do anything.
But you would have to figure that out.
Yeah, yes, exactly. I mean, we can't do anything first until, sure, we'd love to see it green. I'd love to see it green space. I'd like to see it more water-oriented for boats and kayaks. You know, I'd like to see it to be more accessible and made better for water-accessible sports and things like that. But as I said, none of that's going to happen until the parking issue is solved.
What do you think about the concept of Beaufort City Council being done by districts, rather than everybody running at large?
Right. I don't know a whole lot about that, but I do know that they did have mapping people come in and do the mapping, and the mapping people said it was too small for districting. So
what would... What would be your feeling about how you would get African Americans on town council then?
I believe no matter what ethnicity, age a person is, they have to do not all of what I did, but I believe you got to come to city council and you've got to learn how the city works and be involved in the community. I believe you have to do your homework. And you have to study, and you have to research. And so if anybody wanted to run, I don't care who they are, the best way to do it is to educate yourself and become involved and come to the meetings 3 times a month, 2nd, 3rd, and 4th Tuesday at 5 o'clock. There's workshops now, which they didn't have 10 years ago. There's workshops at 5 o'clock. There's regular meetings at 7. And in those workshops, every single issue in the city is vetted ad nauseum. I have never seen more transparency in the 8 years that I went. So, does that answer your question? I just think someone should teach themselves and educate themselves on how a city runs before they run for office. It's the same thing my husband did. I mean, I remember 12 years ago when he and I first went in and sat in on a city council, and it was very divisive. There were split votes. It was 3-2, 2-3. It wasn't very civil. And I'll never forget Mike saying, you know, I'd love to be on city council and make this a more cohesive and have consensus instead of divisiveness. And that's what happened. That's why I believe in the past 10 years that consensus building happened. And if you went to city council, you would see that. You know, you hear that people are in people's pockets. You know, you hear, oh, he's in the mayor's pocket or he's in this person's pocket. There's two ways of looking at it. If you go to all the meetings and you watch all this, there's consensus built. They discuss everything and they vet it so evenly. I mean, it's so vetted that it is a way to build consensus. Now, you don't have total consensus all the time. You might have one no vote. But just because there's consensus doesn't mean that somebody is in somebody else's pocket. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that just irritates me when I hear that.
You're saying the group independently comes together.
Yes. After discussing.
Be influenced by outside.
Right. Outside or. Yeah.
Or groups.
Right. And I, you know, the thing I've learned is there's always two sides to every story. And you have to listen to every part of every side of the story. And the decision that has to be made can't be made to please one person. It's got to be made to please the entire community, I believe.
Well, is there anything that you've been talking about that's important to you, your near stand, that we haven't talked about?
I think one of the things I'd like to work on, if I get elected, is the business process of businesses coming into Beaufort. I've heard it's a little complicated and sometimes there's issues that they need to make it easier for businesses to locate in Beaufort. So I would love to look into that, you know, aspect of to see, you know, about getting business licenses, business license fees, you know, all of the building codes. It's a very large, complicated issue, but I've heard that it's not easy to start a business in Beaufort, so I'd like to just see if that's true or not.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Find out. Other than that, the other thing is, after this hurricane, Beaufort, you know, we've got to do something. I think we have to work on burying power lines and figure out how that's going to be, you know, done. Mm-hmm. It's going to take a long time. It's going to be, it's going to have to be over, you know, 10, 20 years from now, but I think we should start on burying power lines. I mean, that was a category 2.
Right.
You think about if it had been a 4 or a 5, it would have been.
Yeah.
I mean, I know Hilton Head, y'all lost Palmetto, the whole Palmetto Bay Marina, right?
The docks are gone. The boats are up on land. They're pulling them out now. You know,
yeah.
Lots underwater. My daughter lives down there. She said the parking lot's full of all the junk they're pulling up and putting.
Yeah.
They're just going to start over, and it'll be better.
Yeah, we lost. They lost 30 boats, and their platforms, their poles, their things are still there. Their poles, but we were just lucky. It was a 2 and. and didn't hit at the peak of high tide. It came in, I'm kind of a weather geek, so it came in as the tide was coming out. So with that surge, that's what we got. But boy, if it had been 4 hours earlier, I think it hit I hit about 6 a.m. or 7, and the high tide was at 2 a.m., so we were lucky. Yeah.
Well, Nan, thank you for coming over.
Thank you. It's nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.